October 13, 1917, 70,000 people amassed at the Fatima apparition site. The sun appears to come down from its place in the sky. It comes down throwing off colors, looking like a disc in the descriptions of some, others like a flat sun in the description of others. And you have one of the greatest phenomena witnessed by one of the greatest numbers in all of Christian history. Hello and welcome to Marycast. This is Dr. Mark Miravalli, Professor of Theology and Mariology at the Franciscan University of Steubenville. We're talking the solar miracle Fatima. We're talking the power of the rosary. We're talking the importance of Our Lady as our hope and the God's plan for peace in our period of time, which we now enter the 21st century. This is imminently relevant to now, and I want to read to you from Sister Lucia's memoirs and from the first-hand documentation about what happened with the solar miracle and what it portends for us. Let's start with Sister Lucia. This is in her description of the event of October 13th to her bishop. This encompasses also the message that was given, but also the most important message is what stayed with Sister Lucia as a result of this last of the six apparitions of Our Lady in 1917. This is Sister Lucia. Now, Your Excellency, here we are at the 13th of October. You already know all that happened on that day. Of all the words spoken at this apparition, the ones most deeply engraved upon my heart were those of the request made by our Heavenly Mother, quote, "Do not offend our Lord and God anymore, because He is already so much offended," end quote. How loving a complaint, how tender a request. Who will grant me to make it echo through the whole world, so that all the children of our Mother in Heaven may hear the sound of her voice? The rumor had spread that the authorities intended to explode a bomb quite close to us at the very moment of the apparition. This did not frighten me in the least. I spoke of it to my cousins. "How wonderful," we exclaimed, "if we were granted the grace of going up to heaven from there together with Our Lady." My parents, however, were very much afraid, and for the first time they wished to accompany me there, saying that if their daughter was going to die, they wanted to die by her side. My father then took me by the hand to the place of the apparitions, but from the moment of the apparition itself, I did not set eyes on him again until I was back home with the family that night. This in itself, my friends, is rather remarkable. You've got children 10 and 8 and 7 saying, "Wouldn't it be wonderful if God so willed it that we would go up in this explosion with Our Lady?" Take your typical 7, 8, and 10-year-old today, and you're not going to get that type of response. That's extraordinary sanctity for these kids. And even the parents saying, "All right, they're going to die. I want to die on, along their sides." They had a lot of priorities right. They had real spiritual insight about the importance of life and the meaning of death. Well, I also want to make reference to the description of the solar miracle. I'm going to quote, this is quoting from the book Documents on Fatima. This is the official text of the prima facie information and testimonies giving the apparitions. And I want to give you excerpts from one rather remarkable description of the solar miracle. This is from José María de Prenca de Alameda Garret, who was an eyewitness to the events. Listen to his assessment of not only the miracle, but something that happened before the miracle, which is rarely ever mentioned, and that is a cloud of smoke over the children and over the place of the apparition. I read to you from his memoirs and from his particular testimony. "I'm going to relate briefly and concisely, in all sincerity, what I saw in Fatima on October 13, 1917. Then going down, "Shortly after 1 o'clock there arrived the children, for whom the Virgin, they claimed, arranged place, day, and hour of apparition. The people around them began to intone hymns. At a given moment, this large mass, confused yet compact, closed their umbrellas and exposed themselves to a rain in a gesture that must have been of humility or of respect, but which surprised and amazed me, for the rain continued unabated and was now soaking heads and drenching them thoroughly. I was told later that the people who had just knelt in the mud had obeyed the voice of a child. It must have been 1:30 when a column of smoke rose precisely from the spot where the children were. It was a thin, feeble, bluish column that rose straight up, 2 meters perhaps, above the heads of the people and then broke up. This phenomenon, clearly visible to the naked eye, lasted a few seconds. Not having taken note of the duration, I am unable to affirm it was more than a minute or less. The smoke broke up quite quickly, and after a while the phenomenon repeated itself a second time and a third time. The tall, thin columns were very clearly seen in the gray atmosphere the three times and principally the last. I trained my binoculars on this spot. I saw nothing except the columns of smoke. I was convinced that they were produced by some motionless thurible in which incense was being burned. Later on, trustworthy people assured me that it was usual for the thing to happen on the 13th of the 5 previous months, and that on those days, as on this one, nothing had ever been burned there, nor had there ever been a fire. Now I'm going to stop here and make a comment. My friends, this is really phenomenal because we're talking about what the Old Testament called the Shekinah. The Shekinah was the cloud, the sacred cloud that would follow the Ark of the Covenant. And at times the Shekinah, the sacred cloud, would come over the Ark when God wanted to speak to his people. And then let's go to Scripture. Let's go to Luke 1:28, when the angel comes to Mary. And in verse 31 to 32 and following, there's a reference to Mary says, "How will this be since I know not man?" And the angel says, "The Holy Spirit will overshadow you." Well, that's the Shekinah. That's the sacred cloud overshadowing the new ark. Mary is the new ark because in Mary is the Eucharist, the fulfillment of the law, and the fulfillment of the commandments. That's Jesus Christ. Well, in the old ark, you had manna, you had the rod of Aaron, and you had fragments of the Ten Commandments. That's the old covenant. So see the beauty of this. Well, now we're going to Fatima. The children are there. What happens? You have pillar of smoke, a bluish pillar of smoke, three times in honor of the Trinity, making reference to that the Shekinah, the holy presence of God, is here waiting for the Ark of the Covenant, waiting for Our Lady to come forward in her monumental message to our time. This is unbelievable and certain symbolism of the presence of the Holy Spirit and the Trinity, in this case with the three, as Our Lady is about to appear. Now to the description of the actual miracle of the sun. A few moments previously, the sun had triumphantly broke through the layer of clouds that had been covering it and was shining bright and clear. I turned to this magnet that was attracting the eyes of everyone and could see it as a sharp-edged, brilliantly shining disc, and it did not hurt to look at it. In my opinion, the comparison I heard made in Fatima to a dull silver disc is not a good one. It was a much clearer, livelier, and richer color, and with hues that gave it the appearance of a pearl. In no way did it look like the moon, or a bright, clear night, for it had all the appearances of a living planet. It was not like the rounded moon, and it did not have the same tonality nor the contrast of light and shadow. It looked like a polished ring cut out from the pearly insides of a shell. This is not the banal metaphor of a cheap poet. It is exactly as I saw it. It is also not to be confused with the sun as seen through fog, which is opaque. In Fatima, it had light and heat and was as clear-cut as could be. The sky was covered with wisps of cloud with the blue breaking here and there. The clouds were being blown quickly from west to east. The amazing thing is that one could look at the sun, the very source of light and heat, for a long time without paining one's eyes or dazzling the retina to blindness. This phenomenon must have lasted for about 10 minutes, during which there were two brief interruptions when the fierce sun threw out more brilliant and flashing rays and which forced one to look away. This pearly disk suddenly began to move. It was not the movement of a planet in its normal course. It spun on its own axis at a breakneck speed,
Suddenly a cry was heard like an anguished shout from all those people. The sun, maintaining the velocity of its rotation, dislodged itself from the firmament and full-bloodedly advanced on the earth, threatening to crush us with the weight of its enormous and fiery mass. There were seconds of a terrifying impression. During the solar incident, which I have written about in detail, there were changes of color in the air. I cannot be very precise about the event, for 2 months have since gone by, and I did not take notes. I remember that it was not near the beginning, and so it was near the end. Staring at the sun, I noticed that everything around me became dark. I looked at things close by and then threw my gaze to the horizon and saw everything a purplish color. Objects, the sky and the air were all the same color, a purple color oak tree in front of me threw a gloomy shadow on the ground. Worried that perhaps I had damaged my retina, an unlikely hypothesis, since if that had been the case, I would have not seen things purple, I turned around, rubbed my eyelids, and covered them with my hands to keep out the light. Still turning around, I opened my eyes and saw just that. As before, the landscape and the air continued to be the same purple color. The impression was not of an ellipse. I had seen the ellipse of the sun, which in Visu, which I had been at the time, which was total. In the measure that the moon blocks out the sun, the light begins turning a gray color until everything becomes dull and dark. The temperature falls considerably, and it would appear that life on Earth had died. In Fatima, the air, although a purple color, remained transparent. You could see and distinguish things clearly as far away in a horizon. Continuing to look at the sun, I noticed that the air had cleared. Almost immediately, I heard a hillbilly near me say in a shocked voice, "That woman has a yellow color." In fact, everything near and far changed, taking on the color of old yellow damasks. People looked sick with jaundice. It made me smile to see them so unbecoming. Laughing could be heard. My hand had the same yellow turn. This phenomena, which I described, was observed by me coolly and calmly without any emotion or fear. Now, this is obviously an intelligent individual. He's talking about a phenomena of light that has as a result of this sun coming down. In other descriptions, the sun leaves its place in the sky. It comes towards the people. People jump forward in the mud out of fear that it's the end of the world, and then the sun returns to its place in the sky. This is reported by newspapers, by 70,000 witnesses that are there, by countless testimonies as a result. Why? What is the message of the soul of the sun coming from the sky down to the people and then back up? Well, stay tuned for our next episode discussing the great solar miracle at Fatima. This is Dr. Mark Mivali saying thank you and God bless you.